This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Hi, welcome to Diversity Dispatch, your local queer and rainbow podcast. Hello, 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 hello. How is everybody today?
How is everybody?
Or tonight, because it's night. It's night. It's,
or it could be to the daytime when they listen to us on the podcast, on the on Spotify and all the other good podcast places. How do I turn this down?
What?
Oh, no, we got it. Sorry, it's very loud in my ears at the moment.
Yeah, sometimes it's loud. I don't understand like when people turn up their headphones really loudly because I just find it distracting when I'm trying to talk. So I like it's like a nice low volume so I can still hear myself speaking, but it's like a whisper.
Yeah, it was like kind of yelling in me before.
And then I shout so loudly when I greet everyone as well. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
No, it's all right. No. It's fine. But you know, we're here and we're ready to embrace the day.
I know we sort of vaguely planned out what we wanted to discuss. I want to interject with a quick, short rant.
Okay.
Speaking of diverse groups, all right, I'm one of the few gays that can drive.
Yay.
Yes. There's more. So the big road that turns into KV Road, that comes over the hill.
Yes.
That one. Yeah. Yep. So I have to come down there cause I live on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And, every time I go over, there's always some silly human that is like, I'm just going at a normal pace and they always like pass me. And it's so stupid because, bro, I'm driving at the speed limit, like, chill. And I just think it's so silly that in the middle of town, I'm driving at the speed limit and these people feel the need to pass me.
Yeah. Like is it on a single lane or is it on,
double
on a
lane.
Double lane? Yeah.
Yeah.
I find it incredibly difficult to, like,
going uphill.
Oh, is it going uphill?
Going uphill.
Yeah.
And then also coming downhill when I'm probably accidentally speeding a little bit because we're going downhill and it's moving fast.
Yeah, it's really hard to – that's what I was about
and
to say.
People still pass me.
Mm. Do you want to know a fun fact, though?
What?
So your car's speedometer, they actually –
It reads higher than what it is, I know.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Because that's a New Zealand thing, isn't it?
I don't know if it's a New Zealand thing. Well, the cars are made overseas.
Yeah, but like – they wind up at a dealership before they get passed on to a customer.
Oh, I thought that they just
bought privately.
I thought they did that like in the manufacturing process.
Oh, maybe. I think that's silly because then you're not working with accurate information as a person piloting this vehicle.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. It always pisses me off.
It's a thing. I think, I understand the reasons that they do it. It's because, you know, there are some people that do speed. So they see, 50, and then they're like, oh, well, they'll just go 60 anyway. So they make it say 60 when it's actually 50 for those people that go fast.
Yeah, I think mine is closer to like 4 kilometers over.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's usually about 4 or 5. Yeah.
But, it just annoys me because you're not working with accurate information. Mm. And when you're piloting the vehicle, you have to be able to make decisions based on the information that your console is giving you, right?
I know.
And I understand that some people are stupid, but so then punish them. Like, don't punish everyone.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
That was my short rant that I wanted to start off with.
No, that's fair. Also, then I'm just wondering, what if I'm the person that you get pissed off with?
Well,
it could be me.
But, I'm allowed to be pissed off, but I'm not going to act on it. I've been, like, ranting about it on a public podcast. Yeah.
No, I don't need to speed or overtake people unless they're drastically going slow.
I will only overtake people, like, on a highway.
Yeah.
Like, even if the person in front of me is going incredibly slow, I will just be, like, yelling at them behind the wheel with my windows up so they can't hear me.
Yeah, that's what I do, too.
I will road rage, but I will keep it quiet and contained. Like,
and it's just, like, just a vocal road rage, not a, like, you don't...
I'm not honking, like...
And swerving or going right up there.
No, their I'm keister. Not bumper humping. I'm...
Mm.
Yeah.
On that note, though, that just reminded me. The other day, I was driving along and this... I don't know what the fridge this person was thinking, but they were not. They looked at them. They're ute. Whatever. Anyway,
I hate ute drivers.
But they were holding down the street and they were like going so fast. And I was like, whoa, bro, like slow down. This is like actually kind of like a school zone. I'm pretty sure you have to go even slower here. So I was like, well, if you're going to go that fast, then I'm going to go slow. And I just like slowed right.
When I first started learning to drive, my favorite thing was to slow down to exactly 20 or 30 kilometers when going through construction zones.
Yeah.
And this was in Invercargill where everyone speeds because it's like...
Oh, what, sorry, just to interject on that. One time I went through a roadworks zone.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize I was going a little bit too fast. And they actually like started yelling at me and told me off. So I don't think I was going that fast.
How fast were you going?
I must have been... Oh, it was on like a highway roadwork. So it wasn't in town. And it was past the lollipop people.
Okay, I always, like, if there's people actively, like, walking around.
But I thought
road,
I was going, I still thought I was only going like 30 or 40, but they were still like, no, it's too fast. And they, anyway, continue with your roadwork story.
What was I saying?
When you first started driving.
Yes. So I feel like Invercargill drivers are notorious for ignoring speed limits, especially in construction zones and school zones and everything. My favorite thing is when I was in the front of all the cars, I would slow down to exactly the correct speed limit and just like watch as all the drivers piled up behind me furious because they have to drive the speed limit because I'm in the front and I'm going the speed limit.
And you're
going to
be that petty person.
I drive at the speed limit at times.
Yeah.
But,
No, it's fair. I just finished it. You're just relishing in the idea of like, I've got this massive pile up behind me.
They can't justifiably get mad at me.
Yeah.
And like, even when I'm in a construction zone and someone's going incredibly slowly in front of me, it's like, well, yeah, we're in a construction zone.
I'm doing the correct thing. Don't get,
Yeah. I just love watching people get mad at me doing the correct thing.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's actually your problem, not mine.
Yeah. Fair.
Yeah.
I don't like it when like sometimes they have like slow down to like 30 or 50 like on a highway and there's like because like they've been doing roadworks.
30 on a highway.
You know, like when they've got like when they've been doing roadworks and it's because they've like dug up one piece of the like a 2 meter long bloody piece of the road and but they've got it like at 50 k's for like I'm like that's silly.
When the speed limit is lowered like way excessively for a large area when it's just a tiny work.
Mm. Or they've finished it and they just didn't take the signs down or they still consider it a roadwork zone.
You know what? I was turning off the street that I live on and it's sort of it's curved where it's a T intersection and then the street it feeds onto is curved.
Where so you live now.
Yes.
Yeah. No, yeah.
So it's a really hard intersection because you can't see around the curved road. So they've got like one of those like reflective things, but they're bloody awful. You can't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
And one time they decided to put a speed limit sign right up in the freaking window of view. So I could see even less. And it, oh my God, I was like fully at that intersection, like creeping out, like almost like,
you're fully into the
getting
road.
Clipped, yeah, because I just couldn't see. And it's like, I'm not going to just drive into the street and hope. Like, they really should put a stop sign up because it's only got a giveaway. And I think that's stupid. It should be a stop sign.
Mm. Or turn it into a roundabout.
I don't think that's entirely necessary. I think that it's just like a stupid intersection.
I'm just a fan of roundabouts. I think them.
Yeah, but like you know where I live. You've been to my house. You know the intersection I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And it's like I because like people going up the main road that it feeds onto, it would just be very disruptive.
Yeah, that's fair. Cool.
Anyway, shall we move on to our regularly scheduled programming?
Yes, I do. Just want to touch on one thing though. That was kind of rude. How you said that, like you're a gay that can actually drive.
Yeah.
Well, I fall out of the stereotype of being a gay that can't drive because technically
you're bi.
I'm half gay, so that's
why I didn't include you in that generalization.
I know. I just wanted to put that out there. I want to make that statement. I am not a gay that can't drive because I'm not a gay, and I can drive. Although some people would question that, but I mean,
one time that you've driven me around, it was fine.
Yeah, I just still remember this one time that like in my really old car. My Ford Laser, R.I.P. Amy. Anyway,
named it Amy.
Yeah,
that's such
love
a weird
me,
car name.
Hate me, say what you want about me, but all of the boys and all of the girls are begging to the Britney Spears song.
Yeah, okay, but why Amy?
Because the song is called "If You Seek Amy." Amy is in the title of the song.
Yeah,
because I liked Britney Spears, and I was like Amy, so I called my car Amy.
Okay. Oh, so it's a play on words. The word Amy isn't actually in the song.
Yeah, it is. But it is a play on words, but that's what they meant. Yes. So for listeners out there, if you listen to
Britney... If you see K, the letter,
yeah,
me.
Yeah, but the sentence, the name of the song is If You Seek Amy.
Oh.
So when she sings it out loud, so you read the title and think, oh, she's just saying, oh, because I'm looking for Amy, because the lyrics don't make a lot of sense. She's saying, oh, I'm looking for Amy at the club. But one, and then she says...
They're trying to, if you seek Amy. That doesn't make sense.
Exactly. That's what... Yeah. It doesn't, but that's the whole joke.
I don't think it's a funny joke.
No, the joke is that, like, anyone that doesn't listen to it phonetically won't understand what it means because they'll just see the title.
Yeah, but that's not funny.
It's clever.
I don't think it's that clever.
The music video literally ends with...
It took me that long to understand the joke because I was trying to find another hidden depth that made it funny.
No, but yeah, she is talking about trying to find Amy at the club in the lyrics, and then she's saying, oh, love me, hate me, all of the boys and all of the girls.
Yeah.
But then at the very end of it, of the music video, they have a newsreader that goes, it just doesn't make any sense, does it? And that's how the music video ends.
Okay, see, that one snippet is funny, but to make it the joke for the entire song.
But it's the song is that you're actually secretly swearing. And no effort.
But it's not secret.
Well, I didn't realize that's what it was for ages.
Really?
Yeah, because I just read the title.
But if you listen to the song.
But I wasn't. I thought I was singing along to the words.
Am I the only one that listens to lyrics and songs?
But if,
Sometimes I feel that way.
If you heard the song first without having... without knowing what the title was, then I would understand it. But I read the title first, so I thought that's what the words were. I wasn't listening for any deeper meaning. And a lot of people don't realise this either, even when you point it out to them. I've met so many people, I'm like, you know that's what she's saying, right? And they're like, what? No.
Really?
Yes. It's not that obvious, but people aren't listening to the phonetics of the song.
Even... As someone who enjoys music, I always listen to the lyrics, and especially when the lyrics are in contrast to the mood of the melody.
But that's listening to the lyrics, but if you're reading the lyrics as they're being sung, your brain fills in the gaps for what it thinks it is. And if it just thinks it's the actual words...
I know, but I would think of both and then logically go, okay, well, it's this because that makes grammatical sense.
Yeah, but if you don't hear that she's spelling something out, you're not listening for it.
Exactly, so you're not listening to the lyrics.
But if you read on paper, if you seek Amy, as you are listening to it, that is what you are going to hear. You aren't going to hear...
That's not the full lyric. But that's not the full line.
No, I know that. But if you are only seeing the words written down, your brain is going to tell you that that's what the words are. That's not going to be listening for anything else. It's like when you have the Laurel...
I would assume if it was written down, I would assume that whoever wrote it got it wrong. I don't think we're getting anywhere with this debate.
No, we're not. Some people just aren't listening for it because they've heard the first part of the verse, the first part of the song in which she's saying, have you seen Amy tonight? I'm looking for her.
I'm getting frustrated, and I love that we can have these debates without getting angry at each other.
Mm.
I'm frustrated at all these other people. I just don't think it's a clever joke.
It's not a joke. Joke was the wrong word, but it is a play on words, and if you're not listening for it, then you're not going to pick up on it.
But if you're going to do a play on words, it should be funny or clever. And
it is clever.
No!
It's bisexual anthem. All of the boys and all of the girls are begging to...
Begging to, if you seek Amy?
Yeah.
That's not clever.
It's a double entendre. Never mind.
I'm very... I like intellectual humour. And some stuff, it's just like, that's stupid. And I know that that's my opinion and that doesn't matter if other people are enjoying it.
Yeah.
But I'm just expressing that here today for anyone else that feels the same as me so that they can have some solidarity. I know I'm not the only one.
It's a generic pop song.
It's a generic pop song.
And it has caught people out. That's all I'm saying. And it's not immediately obvious for people if they are just seeing the words, because their brain will be telling them it is the words, and they'll just say, oh, maybe this person got the grammar wrong.
I think my issue is that people are only seeing the words.
Yeah.
My issue is that they're not listening to the song and then making those same connections.
They won't have. Then they would, and generally, I was confused for the longest time as well. When I was like, it doesn't make sense. What is she saying? Why is she saying this? If all of the boys and all of the girls are also looking for Amy, then why does she say that sentence structure that's not correct? And I was confused for a very long time.
You didn't figure it out?
No, someone pointed it out to me.
Oh.
Because I just...
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Because I figured it out immediately.
Okay. Gold star. Okay, just to further my point about how sometimes I don't particularly catch on to things right away, Britney Spears' other song, Hold It Against Me.
I'm going to hold this against you, aren't I?
Yeah, you are, because the lyric is, if I said I want your body now, would you hold it against me?
That makes grammatical sense.
It does, but I thought literally... like, hold it against me, as in, oh, I'm going to hold this against you.
Oh, like an action.
No, it is both. That's the thing. It's a play on both. So it is, if I said I want your body now, would you hold it against me? So it's like, oh, would you hold it against me? Like, be mad at me for it. But she's actually saying, would you physically actually hold your body against me?
See, that's more clever than Amy.
I didn't catch on to the... I actually want you
I didn't either, and that's what I like about it, is that it's not immediately obvious. It's you have to think about it.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the If You Seek Amy thing, I don't have to think about that. That's just intrinsic understanding. Like, okay.
Okay.
And that's why I like intellectual humor.
Okay.
Because I have to think about it, and then I get the joke.
Yeah. Have I told you my one of my little favorite intellectual humor jokes?
Yeah.
It works more as a comic panel.
Okay, so maybe just send me the comic panel.
Yeah.
Don't try to describe it on air. It'll be cringe. Don't do it.
I'm just even trying to remember what it is. It has to do with Pavlov's dogs.
I love Pavlov humor.
Mm. So it's something like, oh, I've been training these dogs to, I've been training these dogs to sit every single time I raise my hand. Oh, fuck, I can't. Golly, I swore. What's the time code?
That.
Never mind. I'm not going to get the joke. I'm not going to get the joke out. I'm going to fight. Next time we'll talk about it, but I like it, and I'll show it to you.
Okay.
Yeah. We haven't talked about any of the things that we intended to. We haven't talked about coffee. We haven't talked about...
bring out the list. We had a list.
Yeah. Coffee.
We have 6 minutes and 40 seconds left.
Yeah. So let's just skip the first three things that we're going to talk about. So how was Hosting Revolution?
Hosting Volume 17, Revolution, the Ookie Spooky Halloween Edition.
Yes.
So I literally, like, barely slept the 2 days before because I was so nervous about it and, like, trying to get all this stuff done that it's, like, it's not overly urgent, so I could leave it to the last second, if that makes sense. But it just, like, because I did that, I was, like, so anxious that I wouldn't get it done, even though I absolutely did. I did get it all done. Mm-hmm. But even after that, I was just like, there's more. I know there's more. There has to be more. It can't be this easy. Like, and I was like seeking out all these tasks to try and like make sure that I had all my bases covered. Because the night before, I tried to go to sleep at a reasonable time because I decided, okay, I'm going to be down at the venue at 12 p.m. Show starts at 8. That gives me plenty of time, like 3 hours free time, plus 3 hours to do makeup, and then another 2 hours before the show starts, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get down there. It's going to be plenty of time. If any mishaps happen, I'm going to have tons of time to cover those. So I was like, I'll get up at about 10. Mm-hmm. So I have 2 hours to get ready and get down there. Make sure that I have all my stuff packed and all that sort of thing. And so I was like, right, if I'm getting up at 10, this is like the mental calculations that I do every day.
Yep.
If I'm getting up at 10, I should be asleep by 2 a.m. so I can get 8 hours of sleep. So I should probably like start winding down at about midnight. It got to 2 a.m. and I was like shivering, like, what else is there? What else is there? So I didn't get to sleep for a while. And then I woke up at 5 a.m., about 5:30-ish. Wake up. I don't know if I had a nightmare, if I just woke up very suddenly.
Yeah.
But I was just like, okay, there's stuff that I have to do. Like, blah, 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 blah. And it's like going over all these mental lists and everything and like trying to make sure. And that was both nights before the show. And then the whole day of the show and the day before, I was like in that state the entire day as well, which is an exhausting state to be in.
Yeah.
So by the time the show rolled around.
How much energy drinks did you go through in order to like abate that?
So I had my coffee in the morning. I always have a coffee in the morning. And then I had one energy drink in the afternoon because I couldn't afford any more energy drinks. And then, yeah, but the show came around. It went really well. As soon as I got up there, I wasn't nervous at all, which surprised me because the last time I did the dual hosting with Anarchy for Rev 16, the preceding show, I was like nervous the whole show as well. Like while I was on stage, I was like trying to, I was doing all those nervous thought processes. But as soon as I got up there, it was fine. And I had all my notes and everything. Like I had pre-written out like intros for every single performer for both acts. So I had two intros for everyone. I had loosely scripted because I know my performance style. I like to have a structure and maybe some one-liners that I can fall back on. But largely I like to improv, right? Because that especially leaves room for when things go wrong and I can sort of figure out what direction I'm going. But I had all of that written out and everything, and I had everything. I was so prepared.
Yeah.
And
almost over-prepared?
No, perfect amount prepared.
Okay, yeah.
Perfect amount prepared. And I'm going to endeavor to be that same amount of prepared this coming month as well.
Yeah.
Because I'm hosting the November one as well, and then we're doing the whole holiday season break, and then we'll come back like February-ish with the Revolution. But yeah, oh man, I was just so nervous. And that's why I left afters really early, because I was exhausted.
Yes.
I was like, after the show had ended and we went upstairs and I was like packing up all my stuff, I turned to Anne and I was like, oh no, this was downstairs when we were packing up the stage. So we haven't even packed up the microphones or anything. I was like, how much of this stuff do you think we can leave for tomorrow? And Anne's like, we at least got to get everything upstairs. So I was like, oh, okay. I'm like dragging myself upstairs.
Dragging yourself
upstairs. That wasn't intentional, but yeah. Oh, I was exhausted. And I was like, you were there. I was sitting on the floor. Like, where are my keys? If I could just get my phone, wallet, and keys, I can leave everything else until tomorrow. So it took me like a full 10 minutes to find my keys in the pile of mess.
Oh my gosh, that is the most stressful thing that I hate. It's like when you know that they're there somewhere and you're just like, I just need them.
And then, oh my God, and then I lost my tip. Anne's mother tipped all of the performers $10 each, and it was super awesome. And Anne gave me two $5 notes from her mother. So I was like, sweet, I'm going to tuck it in my boot because I don't have any pockets or anything. I didn't take my shoes off. I didn't wander around all that much. I was just in the stage area, and then I went upstairs. Gone. I take my shoes off, not there.
I swear there has to be some kind of like vacuum when you put things in a place that is like different than what you would normally, they just vanish for some reason. Like, I think it's just the universe playing a trick.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but like it was only in there for like 10 minutes. And it was poof.
Gone. Poof.
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 Poofed it. But you'll never guess what happened the next day. So I went home. I was in bed by 1 a.m. Or in bed by midnight, but like asleep by 1. I woke up the next morning at about 5 a.m. with a migraine. I don't know if it was the stress. I don't know if it was the lack of sleep. But I was, oh my God, the worst migraine I've ever had. So that was like my entire Sunday. I woke up at about 5 a.m. I took some painkillers. I took some herbal remedies. And I just slept for 8 hours. I woke up. It was still a bit sore. So I like put some washing on and just went back to sleep.
So for anyone out there that wants to be a show producer and host, Miles has just done a great job at selling it and how easy it is.
No, I'm not about to do any false advertising, actually. If you're going to endeavor to produce a show, it's a lot of work, but it's not difficult work. You just have to sit down and do it. That was just my anxiety and stress, especially because it was something that I hadn't really done before to that extent.
Yeah.
That was just my stress response. Everything else was fine.
But now that you've done it.
Now that I've done it, I'm so confident.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering about, like, because when you co-hosted it, it was probably the first time and you weren't probably, like, in control, so didn't know what to expect.
Yeah, it
and
was sort of, because it was co-hosting, it everything was sort of touch and go. Like, it wasn't my job and it wasn't her job.
Yeah.
So it was just sort of like both of us, like, doing whatever, whereas this time it was like, okay, it's all my responsibility. So it's a lot easier to decide or make decisions because it is entirely my decision.
Mm.
Anyway, I've been talking for way too long and our time is up.
Do we have time to plug the shows?
Yes. Okay, so this Friday, Dunedin Pride is hosting a Get Ready With Me for Halloween, 31st of October. I don't actually remember where it is, but if you go to Dunedin Pride, they'll be advertising it. I will be doing face painting with potentially one or two other people, depending on how busy it is. Friday night, we have the drag show at Inch Bar.
Not this Friday, because it's usually the first Friday of the month and the first Friday.
Oh, is it? Oh, right. Yeah.
This Friday is the 31st. So next Friday, the 7th.
Yeah, next Friday, the 7th, we have drag music at Inch Bar. This Saturday, there is the Halloween edition of Femme.
Yep.
Which is what I got mixed up with. They are doing two shows, one at 7:30 and one at 9:00.
I think so, yeah.
I don't know. I was looking at it this morning. Really cool. But go check that out. And what else? There was Kerosene's
drag
bingo on the, I think it was the 20th of November.
Yeah, I think so. I think it might be, it's either 19th or 20th.
I don't know about that time.
Yep, 20th.
And then I'm going up to Christchurch on the 15th, I think it's the 15th, to do Stoned Unfiltered Volume 3 with Kerosene and Deliria and a few other Christchurch-based performers. There's Noah Lott, there's Alexis Stone, of course, who's hosting. So if you can shoot up to Christchurch for that, definitely do. It'll be worth the check out. And then on the 29th of November, we have Volume
18,
thank you, of the Revolution. And that's all the upcoming shows I can think of.
And then, of course, there'll be the December Inch again.
But that's why
we'll talk more about that.
I don't know the date of that one.
Yeah, we'll talk more about it when we get closer to it on the next podcast, probably.
Anyway, we really need to wrap up before these next people can. thank you all so much for listening. We will see you in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Diversity Dispatch is a fortnightly show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Tune in next time on oar.org.nz or wherever you listen to your podcasts for more queer and diverse content. Over and out.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.